And that's what we talk about when we have our meetings. Yeah, there are really practical, general things that we talk about in our meetings on a month-to-month basis, like, you know, our operations and how do we fix this thing that's broken and how do we raise some funds for this or that or how do we do those. Yeah, we talk about all those kinds of things. But the point, the purpose, is that it's about the mission of God. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
It's about the mission of God. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 28. Verses 19 to 20 gives us that mission. It says, amongst other things, it says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's the mission. That's the mission that God has given us. That's our mission. Every one of us who calls Jesus Lord here this morning, and this is a good reminder for all of us, if we are focused on things other than this, we need to recalibrate our lives, okay? Get refocused on what really matters in this life. We have Jesus, but there are thousands upon thousands of people on this Sunshine Coast, okay? I'm not talking about people way over there or way over there. I'm talking about thousands upon thousands of people right here on this Sunshine Coast that do not know him. So we must go. We must go. Now I'm jumping ahead a little bit in our series in Romans a little bit this morning because we can know the importance of going into all of the world in Romans chapter 10, verses 12 to 15. I've called this message Sent Ones. That's referring to us. Paul shares the importance of being sent ones, being sent people, being the church. Church, we are sent people. We are sent people. We are not gathered together on Sunday people, just exclusively. But we are more than that. We are sent people. We are sent out to share the good news, to invite people to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, as we have. Romans chapter 10, verses 12 to 15 says this, Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. It is so important for us this morning to be focused on being sent people in our lives. And for that to happen, we have to have a vision for our lives. That vision comes from God. And a vision for life that comes from God is never truly simple. It's never truly easy. It requires faith. Are you following me this morning?
Yeah.
A vision from God requires faith. So you can be sitting here this morning and you can say, God, what is it that you have prepared for me in advance of my existence? And if it's, oh, yeah, well, it's this thing or it's that thing, and you think, oh, yeah, easy, I've got that under control. I can do that, no problem. I would invite you to recalibrate, maybe ask that question and say, God, is this a vision from you? Or is this just maybe a portion of that? Because a God vision, a God-sized vision should not be easy to accomplish in our own strength. It should require faith to believe, faith to trust, faith to say, God, without you, I can't do this. But with you, I can. With you, I can. In fact, let me even elaborate on that even further. I truly believe that there is no vision worth living out, worth carrying out, that can be successfully followed without challenge and hardship. Without some doubts and some fears and battles being waged and won. It will require faith in God to make a way forward. How many of you remember the movie series Lord of the Rings? Some of you, I know it's old. I know some of you remember it. I remember it very recently because I finally just watched the series with my youngest daughter, Asha. And because, you know, for the longest time, I'm like, I don't want her seeing these scary-looking orcs and stuff. It might freak her out, whatever. So finally, it was like, okay, it's time. It took us like 3 weeks to watch three movies because we had to watch it in the evening for like an hour or half an hour, and then it's bedtime, or she had to go to work, so we had to wait a few days. So it took like 3 weeks evenings, you know, just here and there, sparsely kind of watching them. And, you know, it was cool because I don't know if it's the first movie or the second movie, maybe it's the first one, where you think it's over, they're done, and it fades to black. And I remember watching it in the theater thinking, oh no, what? This is it? And then it kind of fades back in and they get carried off. Is it the second or I don't remember. They're safe. Anyway, they're saved. But the point of the story, and Asha was watching this and she was so intense. What? This can't be. This can't be happening. And then, oh goodness, the Eagles have arrived, right? And they always save the day. The Eagles. I don't know. Every time I see the Eagles, I think, American. The Americans are here. Yeah, no, I don't know, whatever. But it's just funny. Anyways, my point being, in the story, it just reminds me. You have the guy that wrote all of that. He knew Christ. And in that story, there is faith, believing they're going to make it. And there's all kinds of obstacles, and they want to quit, and all kinds of things come up, but they keep going, and they keep going, and they keep going. Like I said, a vision from God for your life should require faith. It should require faith. It should not be so simple as making a few decisions here and there, and I'm going to will myself into doing what God wants me to do. No, it should require you to be on your knees praying. It should require you to say, Lord, I need you today more than yesterday. I need you to move in my life in a way like you've never moved before. You follow me? It's good. That's good. That's what I want to share about this morning. It's the vision, again, and the story for our lives today. Do you know that God is still writing the story? He's still writing the story. We are not outside of time here. We are in time. God is at work. He is writing the story of his work being done today still. And we're a part of that if we make the decision and the choice to engage in that story, to say, God, I'm here, I'm yours. I will follow you. I will obey you. Use me. Here's what Philippians chapter 4:13 says, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Do you believe that this morning?
Yes.
I believe that this morning. I really, really do. You see, that vision, that story, that God-breathed vision, it will come with challenges. But in the end, as we follow that vision, all the glory goes to God. You see, that's the healthy, that's the right way to look at it. God, it's for your purposes. It's for your glory. I will follow you. I will go. I will be sent one, a sent one. Because I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Sometimes we love to use that verse for all kinds of things, don't we? I can do everything through Christ, for he gives me strength. The reality is that he will give you strength to do his will, to do what he's called you to do. That's the context this morning. So don't misinterpret, don't take that out of context and say, I can do everything through Christ. I can make $1 million through Christ. I can go and do this, and I can get this, and I can get that through Christ, because he gives me strength to do all things. No. That's a twisted version of that. All things are possible through him to do his will, his purpose, what he has called us to through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. There's one a little quote here I'll share with you by a guy named P.K. Bernard. He says, a man without a vision is a man without a future, and a man without a future will always return to his past. I know too many people, and you probably know people as well, that just keep kind of going through the same things over and over again. You ever done that? You ever been there? You just kind of keep getting stuck in that cycle over and over again? Usually it's because you don't have a vision. And this is especially challenging to me when it's people who are followers of Jesus. Because God has a vision for you. It's not a secret. You can discover his vision for you. You can walk in his vision for you. And you can move forward. But yet I see followers of Jesus that just get stuck in this cycle of just wasting their time and wasting their life and going, hey, I love Jesus. I come to church on Sundays. Good for you. Like, don't get me wrong, folks. I mean, I'm speaking to myself here. I come to church every Sunday. Ha ha. Wow, there's a little tension in the room here. Let me move on. Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. Now we know, because we've been studying Romans, that we can't keep the law, but we have grace, that we walk in grace by faith. We need to have a vision. We have a vision as a church, as a body, but are you a part of that? Are you bought into that? Do you see the vision that God has for your life? One commentator puts it like this about vision. He says this, vision is the bridge between the present and the future. Without it, we perish or go unrestrained, okay? As the New American Standard Bible puts it, vision gives pain a purpose. Vision gives pain a purpose. There have been many, many times in my life where I've thought, is this worth it? Like going through these challenges, is this worth it? But then you're reminded of the vision. And the vision says, yes, it is. Because the vision comes from God. And the vision is bigger than your pain. The vision is bigger than my pain. It's following God. Vision gives pain a purpose. Those without vision spend their lives, I love this, vision. Those without vision spend their lives taking the path of least resistance as they try to avoid discomfort. Man, is that ever true? Woe is me, pray for me, I am in discomfort. I can't handle this. Why is God forsaking me? Why am I like left alone? No, you are not left alone. Jesus says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. If you know Christ, he's with you. It's the pain, it's the discomfort that you're fighting. And over and over and over again, we see in the Bible where it says, don't do that. Cry out to God, call out to God, and he will save you. He will be with you. He will give you the endurance that you need. And again, that's what we talked about in Romans. I hope you've been reading Romans. I hope Romans has been filling you up with all kinds of hope. Because it says right there in Romans chapter 5 that you need to go through things so that you can build up your endurance. We have to do that. There's way too many thin-skinned followers of Jesus around us sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? You follow me for a second? Here, let me give you a little quick illustration here. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to walk. This is the beauty of having a microphone that has no wires. Hey, Marvin. Yeah, you knew I was coming? Yeah. Nice haircut, Marvin. Nice haircut. Thanks, man. Yeah, and I walk away. And then Marvin could say, and I know he wouldn't because he knows me and he loves me, and one day I might have that same haircut. He goes, oh, I can't believe Jazz did that. I'm offended. I am upset. You know what? Those Christians, they're all like this. Forget God. I don't need God. You know what I'm talking about? Without endurance, without a vision, without a focus on Christ, man, we're like children. We get offended. We get ticked off. We walk away. We get all angry. But God's saying, don't do that. Walk by faith. Trust me. Have a vision. I believe this. I said this 8 years ago when I came here. There are greater things yet to come. There are greater things yet to come. I believe that as much today, 8 years into being here in Gibson's at CLA, as I did the day I arrived. There are greater things yet to come. But there's been all this time between 8 years and now of perseverance, of endurance, of saying, God, I trust you. I trust the vision that you have. And it's a challenge. But it's okay because, God, you're with us. And you're moving us forward, and we will trust you because you are more interested in your church than even I am. Amen. He's even more interested in his church than even you are. He's even more interested in lost people than we are. And the Bible said the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. That's us. So we need to continue to be encouraged and built up and encouraged to follow by faith. Dan talked about it. I was just about to say, Pastor Dan talked about it this morning, maybe one day. But we talked about, that's not a prophetic word, I'm just throwing that out there. Dan talked about that this morning, that it's taking steps of faith, one step in front of the other. That's what it's about. I know this, if God had shown me the vision of what he had for my life 25 years ago, I've said this before, and I mean it, I would have run the other way. I would have said, nope, that ain't happening. I'm not doing that. There's no way. And that is still true today. There are things that God has set for you. He has a vision for you. He has plans for you that nothing can get in the way of if you say, yes, God, I will take that next step. I will be obedient to that next step. I don't know what 3 steps from now is, but you might show me the 1 step and I'll take that step and I'll trust you for the next step. I believe that it's always good, again, always good to be reminded that with vision and by faith that we can say that there are great things ahead, greater things to come. That by faith, the best days are not behind us, they are ahead of us. And I believe that for us personally, I believe that for us as a church. There are greater things yet to come. Philippians chapter 3, 13 to 14 says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Today, I believe that there is a need for clear vision in our lives as we go forward, because without clarity in our vision, we are in danger of becoming satisfied with less than all God has in store for us as his people. Someone say amen to that. Without vision, we are unrestrained. Without vision, we just kind of go and do this and go do that. And here's my pet project over here. Here's my hobby over there. I'm going to go do this and do that. No, we need to be focused. And that's our word this year. You've heard me say this before. The word this year is purpose. That we are to be on purpose. We are to be focused in 2020. Have that 2020 vision. Have that focus. Have that purpose. What's your purpose today? What's your purpose this year? What's your purpose in this body of Christ? This body that you're sitting, being a part of today? We need a vision in our own lives as much as we need a vision for the life of God's church. Now, the Bible makes it clear to us that God has a vision for our lives. You only need to look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 to be encouraged by the words, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil." It doesn't say plans to go on welfare or anything like that. No, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, that doesn't matter where you're at today, what challenges you're dealing with, where you might be economically right now, where your bank account's sitting, this is still true. The Lord has plans for your welfare and not for evil in your life. He will give you a future and a hope. That's a vision. A preferred future that God has for you and I. And as we walk in trust and in obedience to God and his word, those heavenly plans become earthly reality. Did you hear what I just said? Do you understand what I said this morning? God has made plans in heaven for you and I on earth that he wants us to carry out in our lives through the church family that he has planted you in. Like if you're a part of CLA, this is your home church, he has given you opportunity, he has given you avenue to practice the plans and the vision that he has in your life. He has. That's the reality of what the church is about. Take a look at Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. The church that Jesus established has a God-breathed vision because we already know that God is coming back for his church soon, one day. It says again, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died so you will not grieve like people who have no hope." We have a hope, amen? Amen. We don't have to grieve like people that have no hope. "For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns..." Now look carefully. It's not if Jesus returns. It's when Jesus returns. God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. That's going to be amazing to hear that. The trumpet call of God. It's going to be awesome. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. How awesome is that? Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. Are you encouraging each other with those words? On a side note, I'm really excited about being able to fly. I just think that would be really, really cool. So one day that'll be really awesome. I'll be able to say, I believe I can fly. So that tells us that between today and the day of our Lord's return, Jesus is coming back, there is vision to be fulfilled in and through us. That that's his purpose in his church here in Gibson's, okay? You know, sometimes it's great to talk about what's going on over in this church and what's happening over in this part of the world and what's going on over there, and that can take up all kinds of time and energy, but the reality is God's put you here. God's brought you here. So what are we doing here? How are we bringing the gospel here? How are we planting more seed in the soil here? Right here, right now, God's brought you. You're here for a reason. Listen to what John chapter 4, 35 and 38 says. It says, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. I'm so excited about this because I see this happening. The fields are already ripe for harvest. Amen. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. Just in case anyone was confused, God wanted it to be clear. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike? You know the saying, one plants and another harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get to gather the harvest. Awesome. You get to be part of the harvest, bringing in lost souls to know Jesus. You don't have to go to classes and get a certificate to be ready. You don't have to have your life completely figured out and perfect to be a part of it. No. You just have to believe by faith that Jesus is who he says he is. That he has forgiven you. That you are a part of his family, that he is the master of your life, and then you need to engage in the mission. Don't wait. Don't wait around. Don't say, well, maybe if I have some spare time, I'll serve God. Way, way, way too late. No, now is the time. Now is the time. You leave that fruit out there in the harvest field too long, you leave that stuff that's ready to be collected out there too long, what happens? It goes bad. That's not what the deal is. The deal is we go out, we take it, we pick it, we invite people in to know Jesus. That's it. Bottom line. Outside on the wall there, you see it out in the sign. It says to discover, declare, and demonstrate the heart of Jesus. We try to keep it very simple, very to the point. That's what it's about. To discover, declare, and demonstrate the heart of Jesus. That's our mission statement. That one statement, that one sentence statement that describes what we're all about here at CLA. And those are just more, they're more than just words on the wall. Those words are the filter for what we do through the church. And you can use that in your own life as well to grow in your faith in Jesus. Why? Because this vision statement sums up the Great Commission. Let me read it for you again in case you forgot it a few minutes ago. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Amen. So you don't go out into the harvest field with that vision that God's given you by yourself. Jesus is with you. It's like the boss is right there with you. That's the best, right? It's not like, oh man, I hope I do a good job and you know, the boss is going to approve one day. No, the boss is with you all the time. The master is with you all the time. The one you serve is with you, and he's working right alongside with you. Isn't that good? That's good. That's good. So as you look at the scriptures that we just read, that you can see clearly that the disciples discovered what Jesus' plans were for them, and then they were to declare it, and they were to demonstrate it by making more disciples, by baptizing them in the Spirit and in water. And just so you know, we're going to be having a baptism service here soon. We're going to be putting a date out, and we want to invite anybody that hasn't been baptized in water to be baptized. It's going to be great. We're looking forward to that. We're just going to put the date in the calendar and put it out there. So if you know anybody who's a follower of Jesus that says, hey, I haven't been baptized in water, I want to be baptized, you let them know that it's coming up, and we're going to be doing it together soon. It's all about the heart of what Jesus has for us. And so we are called to live this out through our lives and in the church that Jesus established all those years ago. You really can't fully follow Jesus. And hear me very carefully here, because this is a real false kind of teaching that's going around. You really can't follow Jesus without being a part of his church. You really can't follow Jesus without being a part of his church. Like, there is that school of thought. It's like, oh, no, yeah, I can follow Jesus. I don't need to be part of his church. It's okay. No, it's not. Because you're missing out on a huge part of your growth, of the potential, of the encouragement that you could receive and give. You know, in Proverbs, it says iron sharpens iron. How does iron sharpen iron without another piece of iron? Does that work? No. You got a piece of iron, you're just waving it around the air going, hey, it's not getting sharp. That's odd. No, it requires sparks, it requires friction, it requires heat. That's a bit of a picture of the church, folks. So when you have friction, when there's sparks that fly, it's an opportunity to get sharpened, not to run away. And so we sharpen one another because we love one another and care for one another. You know, we could learn a few things in how we do that, probably better. You know, sometimes, oh, I'm just trying to help you, brother. I'm going to sharpen you up. Ow, that really hurts. You keep banging me in the head with that piece of iron. How about we, like, work together and actually, like, make sense here and grow together? That, you know, we could do probably better with that, right? But that's part of the journey. It's part of the journey. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17 helps us understand that since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with the tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Pause. Make allowance for each other's faults. Let's continue. And forgive anyone who offends you. Marvin, do you forgive me? Thank you. Here's the key. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its riches fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Amen. You see, that scripture talks about being part of the community of faith. And the vision that God has for your life includes this community of faith, the church family. You can't grow in your vision or in your walk with God without investing into your family of faith, into your community of faith. They go hand in hand. CLA exists. We exist as a family of faith at CLA to discover, declare, and demonstrate the heart of Jesus. And this says so much about who we are as a church. Our community can see this, and they know that what we believe, and they know that we share Jesus Christ, and that really gets me excited. And I hope that it gets you excited. The question here this morning is that if this is what we are all about, do we believe it enough to let everyone out there know? Or are you happy and content to just come and go as you please? Do we believe it enough That our mission is to discover, declare, and demonstrate the heart of Jesus. Do we believe it enough to let everyone else know? Because our mission reflects the mission of God. We are a church that wants to do and live the life that God has called us to. We want to do this to the best of our ability, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We know it's not going to be perfect. We know we're going to do things and they're going to fail. We know that people are going to say no. But we also know this, that in the trying there will be success. That in the trying there will be people that say, yes, I receive Jesus today. And then in all of that, there will be growth. I don't know about you, but I am interested in growth. I hope you're interested in growth this morning. We cannot be ashamed to share the good news. Luke chapter 9, 26. If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Romans chapter 1, verse 6. We've been hearing this again and again. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. As a church, and I'm going to wrap up here in just a couple of minutes. As a church, we will be committed to going forward in discovering and helping others discover who Jesus is, so that they will know the plans and the visions that he has for them. We're committed to reaching the lost so that they can be found in Jesus and have freedom through Christ. Are you discovering more of God's vision for your life? Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 8 says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. God's word calls us to actively participate in discovering him. You see, when it says keep on asking, keep on knocking, again, that's active. We have to be involved in that process. And if you're struggling and you're wrestling with your faith, it's okay. It's okay. God sees you. He hears you. Keep on asking, keep on knocking, because the door will be open to you. Amen. You see, having a vision is linked to faith, okay? It's linked to faith. What is faith? Do we know what faith is? Faith is described in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That's what faith is. Believing in what you can't see. You have to have faith. A God-given vision is believing by faith in what you see in your heart and you see in your mind that others can't see. God's given a vision for his church. And I've been watching that be walked out. I've been watching that grow. I've been seeing things. There are things that have happened here that I saw in my mind, I saw in my heart. And then when they actually happened, it was exactly what I saw. But it took a few years. Like, that's exciting to me. I'm like, wow, God. There's times where I've just sat in the gym by myself in here, no chairs in here, everything back when we were tearing everything all apart. And I just sat here and I thought, wow, God, this is so cool what you're doing. Because it was impossible in my eyes, but it was possible for you. And you did it in your timing. Everything that's done in God's timing is good. It's trusting in that timing. I'm going to invite Dan and the team to come up. We will declare the good news of Jesus Christ, of his life, his death, and his resurrection to this community and beyond to the glory of God, so that people will have the same hope that we have in Jesus. We are sent ones. We are called to discover, declare, and demonstrate, and we will demonstrate the heart of Jesus in all that we do as a church, and I want to encourage you even in your life. Demonstration of our faith is where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? Right? I mean, you could talk about a lot of stuff. You can discover a lot of stuff. But the demonstration of our faith is where the rubber meets the road. Did you know that James says something about that? Faith without works is dead. That's what God's word says. James chapter 2, 17 to 19 says, "So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless." Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this. And they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? See, anyone that says that they have faith in Jesus but don't actually live that faith through service, they're not actually followers of Jesus. Really, truly. Their faith is actually dead. Following Jesus is life-giving, not only to our own lives, but to others. That's what it's about. So this morning, I want to share this last little quote with you, and we're going to close with some prayer and some worship, but this is what it says. A little quote that goes something like this: choose a job that you love, and you will never have to work a day in your life. You heard that quote before? That's an interesting quote. I think it's, you know, pretty true for the most part. Find something that you were made to do, and you will be fulfilled in doing it. Like, that's a good thing, right? But the part that is left out here is that if you are not being challenged to work at it in your job at some point, you aren't probably going to grow either. The same is true for walking out our vision. If we are going to wait for the perfect time in our lives for the perfect ministry opportunity to come along to walk out our faith and serve, it's never going to happen. Like, it's never going to happen. Get involved. Get plugged in now. Get engaged with the vision that God has for your life now. Don't wait around for that perfect time, that perfect opportunity. Get involved. Get engaged. Watch what God does. And as I wrap up this morning, I want you to know that God can work through each and every single one of us to do what He has made us to do. Don't you want a life like that? Like, that's a good life. That's a good life. So I want to invite you this morning to stand with me, if you're able to stand. And that's what I want to pray for you this morning, that God would be speaking to you this morning, that you would be asking God and saying, God, what have you prepared for me in advance to do? What is the vision that you have for my life? How am I going to engage the mission that you have for me? How am I going to share the good news? How am I going to be involved in the life of your people, the body, the family of faith? How am I going to lift up the name of Jesus in all of this? A life where we live doing what God has made us to do. The church is that place where we can encourage you, we can build you up, we can equip you to do what God is calling you to do. Where you can grow in sharing the heart of Jesus in your life and in the life of the church. I want to invite you to be praying for your church. Be praying for your church family. That Jesus would be seen in all that we say and all that we do. Pray for the leadership. Pray for the volunteer coordinators this year. And if you don't know who they are, you can look on the church website and you can see who they are. And so as we close this morning, I remind us again, let's be moving forward in our vision as God leads us. Now here's a real practical invitation to you. Easter is coming. We're going to be having our Good Friday joint church service where we see like 250 plus people gathered together here, right here on Good Friday. We remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. But it's also an opportunity for you to go and share with someone else about what Easter is all about and invite them to come to know Jesus, to invite them into the family of faith. And so I want to invite you to pray, and I want to invite you to say, God, show me. God, give me the courage and the boldness to step out in faith, to invite someone to know Jesus this Easter season. So let me pray with you this morning as we close, and the team is going to lead us in a song of worship and praise. But I want to invite you to do something this morning, and again, this might be awkward for some of you if you haven't done this before. Don't worry, you don't have to dance or anything weird like that. I'm just going to ask you to just put your hands forward like this if you can. Like, if you can't see me, just put your hands out like this. And it's just, again, it's that posture of receiving, right? Saying, God, I'm just, my hands are open, right? And God, I want to receive this morning what you have for me. So Father, I pray this morning, as we stand with hands open to you, Lord, we ask you to pour out that vision, to speak that vision into our hearts and lives, to give us that purpose, God, that we so desperately need from you. Lord, we know what the mission is to share the good news, to make disciples, to see people come to know you, to be baptized, to teach them to follow and obey. But God, we need to know what it is that you've planned for us in advance so that we can carry those things out. God, I love to see all the gifts that are present in the body, but I know there are so many more that are not being engaged, they're not being used, but they sit dormant. And not only does that hurt the church body, but it hurts the individual. Because they're not working in their gifts. They're not growing in their gifts. They're not sharing their gifts. And like anything, if we don't use it, we lose it. And so, Lord, I pray that there would be this desire to say, God, I want to walk in your gifts. I want to work. I want to serve in the gifts of God that he's given me. God, help us to grow. And so, Lord, as we again stand with our hands open, we just say, Lord, here I am. Send me.